Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Please check out our podcast. Download it onto your device. We're trying to get to that 3 million mark. I can't even believe that I'm saying that we have more than 2 million individuals on planet Earth who've taken the time to go to their app store, put in or their podcast store, put in Wendy Bell Radio and get us onto their device. So please do that. Like, follow, share, give us a 5-star review. Just keep coming back. I want you to think about this. I am a strong advocate of the Second Amendment. And until I got trained with a firearm, until I went through the process of finding one that I liked and learning how to use it, and until I became more comfortable carrying it wherever I go and knowing my surroundings and being prepared, guns made me uncomfortable. I think that it is in human nature for us to feel uncomfortable about things that we are not familiar with. But when you start to look at the landscape around you and you start to see what's going on, the crumbling of our cities, the decay, the moral destruction, the violence, the indiscriminate lack of concern for life. And you know that at least in my community of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the cops aren't coming at anymore at 3 in the morning, 3 to 7 o'clock. There's nobody there. They're not going to answer your call. So you're literally left on your own. Whether you live alone or you have a family to protect. Thank goodness in these United States, you have that right. Except they're constantly chipping away at it. So when this headline came, illegal immigrant can carry guns. Illegal immigrant can carry guns. A federal judge ruling that, yes, it is legal and lawful for an illegal immigrant to carry a gun. I was conflicted about that. I've got to be honest with you. And I want to read you an article about this. Think about it. Should somebody who is not a U.S. citizen, who is not violent, at least has no violent record that we know of, should they be covered by the same Second Amendment? Should they be covered by the same idea that it is your God-given natural right to protect yourself in these United States? Should that apply to people who are not citizens of these United States? Well, apparently to a federal judge, yes. And that's kind of scary to me. And I'm on the fence about that. I don't know enough about it, but I don't trust anything that has to do with firearms. Because it's just the same thing as the LGBTQ stuff. It's not about equal rights. It's about extra. It's always about pushing the envelope. It's more, more, more. It's about trans rights. We don't just want you guys to pay attention to us. We want extra. There's that weird natural tendency to always push things to the limit. And when you push things to the limit, you lose a lot of common sense people who otherwise might have been like, well, what they're talking about makes some sense. And then you're like, well, now I don't trust you. So I found this website called Voz, V-O-Z, Voz.us. And it's kind of a cool look at this ruling. The Supreme Court ruled that illegal immigrants can own a gun. And this is a story that takes us back to 2020 when a guy named Herberto Carbajal Flores was accused of carrying a firearm. In the third attempt to dismiss the case, Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman argued that the non-citizen possession statute violates the Second Amendment. What does that mean? And could this open floodgates of single military age men from all around the world, could this pave a way for these people to be able to go out and buy a firearm lawfully? Because that makes me feel uncomfortable. Because I don't know what their allegiance is. I'm not seeing it's to us. The Supreme Court ruled that illegal immigrants can possess a firearm, and prohibiting them from doing so would be unconstitutional. Phew. Although federal law prohibits illegal immigrants from carrying weapons, the court recently ruled that Herberto Carbajal Flores, an illegal immigrant, was wrongly prohibited from possessing a gun. This district judge, Sharon Johnson Coleman, appointed by Barack Obama, stated that, quote, the non-citizen possession statute violates the Second Amendment. So it's weird. You've got this, like, this war. And the war is between your God-given natural right to defend yourself, to protect yourself, to live and survive on one hand. And on the other hand, you have something that's constitutionally, first, the Second Amendment, protected of citizens. So which side wins out? Because an illegal is not a citizen. Are they granted the same rights that you and I are? So this is kind of interesting. The lawyers in this case that goes back a couple years argued that the government could not demonstrate that federal law prohibiting illegal immigrants from carrying weapons is part of the historical tradition that delimits the outer bonds of the right to keep and bear arms. Lifetime disarmament of an individual based on alienage or nationality alone does not have roots in the history and tradition of the United States. They also pointed out other failures. Among them, one appeals court declared that stripping a man convicted of a nonviolent crime of his gun rights was unconstitutional. After the plea, the judges ruled in favor of Carbajal Flores, citing that, in fact, the government argues this man is a non-citizen who is unlawfully present in this country, right? The court notes, however, that he's never been convicted of a felony, a violent crime, or a crime involving the use of a weapon. Even in this present case, Carbajal Flores contends that he received and used the handgun solely for self-protection and for protection of property during a time of documented civil unrest in the spring of 2020. George Floyd. Additionally, the defendant has consistently adhered to and fulfilled all the stipulated conditions of his release. He's gainfully employed. He has no new arrests or outstanding warrants. And the court finds that Carbajal Flores' criminal record containing no improper use of a weapon as well as the nonviolent circumstances of his arrest don't support a finding that he poses a risk to public safety such that he cannot be trusted to use a weapon responsibly and should be deprived of his Second Amendment right to bear arms in self-defense. Now, wait a minute. He's not a citizen of the United States. And this judge is saying that the Supreme Court's ruling that the Second Amendment has provisions that protect this man, if all these things are met, how does that make you feel? Because on the one hand, and I'll tell you quite freely, I'm very conflicted about this. On the one hand, I agree. Even if you're here illegally, if your intentions are good, your motives are pure, you're going through the process, you have a job, you're paying taxes, you're doing your thing, you'd like the firearm for protection because it's dangerous out there. I get it. But since you're not a citizen of this country, you came here illegally, you in fact are breaking the law only to be protected by it. That doesn't seem right either. What has happened, I believe, in our border and all of these various situations that the left have welcomed and that Democrat voters have brought upon all of us here in the United States, and that Google and Facebook and other platforms have exacerbated by elevating certain voices and messages and effectively silencing and squelching and censoring others. This is a created conundrum. Because they need us in this constant state of confusion, where there's always some victim and a white horse that the left has to ride in and save the day for. I don't want to think that there are 5 million military-age single men who've come into this country since Joe Biden opened up the inn and put out the vacancy sign, who can now go and buy a gun, get a gun, and have a gun for whatever reason they want. Does that make me a nationalist? Am I a white supremacist, an extremist, a MAGA threat to democracy? Or is all of this meant to put you right in a very uncomfortable spot where you can see both sides, but you've got to let the tingle inside tell you where you want to land? It's confusing. It's dangerous. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about this. Air marshals, as this controversy is going on, air marshals pulled off of airline flights to process these very people at the border, putting you and me and everybody we love at risk in the air. How about that? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So we're talking about guns, we're talking about illegals, Supreme Court, federal judge rulings about illegals who don't have criminal records still being able to carry guns for self-defense, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's so interesting that there's not a lot of commentary about this on the left. But the minute there's a transgender-involved school shooting, right, or there's some kind of shooting in general, got to take guns away from people. So predictable. The left is masterful at putting us in danger, don't you think? Headline Breitbart, Republicans seek to block Joe Biden from taking air marshals off flights and sending them to the southern border. How many of you have traveled recently? Travel with your family. You want to talk about stress? You want to talk about getting into the throes of near divorce? Take 5 kids on a trip somewhere and throw in a change of planes. Then make 2 of them twins who sit in those giant toddler seats, those car seats, because they have to have their own, right, their own seat and have to lug all that crap, right? It's terrible. Go through the metal detector, go through the scanner, stand here, look like you're a convict. Okay, the machine moves around you. We're going to take x-rays. I might have to fill you up, pat you down, right? But the air marshals, who after 9/11 became standard operating on aircraft, well, they've been plucked out of the skies and reassigned to make sandwiches and to be glorified travel agents for migrants who don't deserve to be here, who are breaking the law to come here and bringing God knows what with them. The desire to own a gun, perhaps. This is crazy. Representatives Ashley Hinson, she is a he or a she, I don't know. Because, you know, Ashley is one of those names. It's like Kim. It's like Tracy, even Stacy. You never know. It's like Pat. What I'm telling is maybe Brock to look whether Ashley Hinson is a man or a woman. And August Pfluger, this is Republicans from Iowa and Texas, respectively, have introduced legislation to prevent President Joe Biden from taking federal air marshals off of domestic commercial flights to deploy them to the United States-Mexico border, often to escort migrants into the United States. Don't tell me that we're not being replaced. Your safety in the sky, which is critical now more than ever after what all of the FAA rules and the airlines ruled that the pilots had to get all of the freaking shots and all the blood clot issues and myocarditis and people dying suddenly. And you're not supposed to talk about that, but it's happening. And that there should be flights or there should be pilots that are on board these flights just in case something goes haywire in the cockpit. Well, not only is that not happening, you don't even have an air marshal anymore. Somebody who's undercover, who's traveling, carrying a gun to neutralize and affect those people. Nah, you've been reassigned. Go to the border. They need some sandwiches. Yes, Brock? Did we find out?
Female.
It's a female. Okay, got it. You still want to offend, ladies and gentlemen. You know, pronouns are big, apparently, these days.
I'm sure non-binary.
On Monday, Hinson and Pfluger filed the No Fams at the Border Act to prohibit Biden from deploying air marshals to the southern border unless the Department of Homeland Security certifies to Congress that there is a crisis at the border. This is the reindeer games of suck that we're playing with as real lives hang in the balance. Right? They're taking a tier of protection, a level of safety away from the responsible traveling public. That last barrier of defense in the sky where we're all vulnerable on a freaking monster projectile. And saying, well, you know what? We really need you down here to process this flood of humanity because we can't do anything to stop it. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I mean, 94 out of my first 100 things had to do with, you know, the border. I just think it's important that these stories, you don't have to go deep. We don't have to dive into the nuance of it. This is how your Biden administration sees you and your family's safety as expendable. And taking air marshals out of the sky puts us in the worst safety position that we've been in since pre-9/11. Isn't it amazing how much we've forgotten? The people who've died when terror struck. And now we're just inviting it. We're saying, come on in. We'll pay your way as you plot that plan. And we'll allow you to carry a gun. Why the hell not? We'll give you access to whatever you need. That's not the kind of America I want to live in. And I think the distinction between right and left could not be more clear. Period. You know, I was going to get into this story, and I'm glad I haven't had the opportunity because it's a headline about Cori Bush, the squad member who is under scrutiny right now and investigation for misusing campaign cash, who now is saying that the power grid problems in this country, because the grid was never, ever able to manage what they wanted to do to it, that because of white supremacy, we have power grid problems. You can't make it up. Choice is clear. Left or right? When we come back, the curious case of Bernie Moreno. Who's that? You'll find out right after this. This is a curious story that's going to take us to Ohio today. I believe they're primary today. And this is sort of in lines with how much the left is trying to throw at Donald Trump, bogging him down with every sexual abuse allegation under the sun. 19 different women. Really? You've got all these indictments. You have dozens upon dozens of criminal charges. The man was impeached not once, but twice. And you have to scratch your head as you see him surge in the polls. People are done. They see what's going on. They see lawfare. They see abuse of power. They see Trump derangement. They see crazy. And crazy doesn't sell. And so there's this inverse relationship. And you would think it would be otherwise. The more they hammer him, the more dense that they would put in his armor. But it's the opposite. And the same is seemingly true in this Ohio Republican Senate primary. So you got a bunch of guys vying to take on Sherrod Brown in November. Sherrod Brown, by the way, is the, if he's not the worst ranked member of Congress in terms of liberty score, I searched him, he's a 2% F. 2%. One would expect a Democrat to not vote in conservative ways. But every single way that Sherrod Brown could vote, that we would vote against, he would vote. So this Republican candidate is vying to take on Sherrod Brown in the main election in November. So the Associated Press, we give you a little bit of the story. We gave you a little bit of it yesterday. With the Associated Press put out kind of a hit piece. Not even kind of, a hit piece. A story that they knew was garbage. This is what we're up against as common sense conservatives. Again, and this is going to go back to the choice. Which side makes more sense to you? The Don Lemon side or the Elon Musk side? The Samuel Alito side or the Ketanji Brown Jackson side? The choice is clear. So we have Google, we have all these algorithms. We know that Twitter was working with the government before Elon Musk bought it. And now you've got just your mainstream media. You have the Associated Press knowingly putting out garbage hit piece information in order to destroy a Republican candidate for Senate. This doesn't happen to Democrats. This only happens to people on the right. And the hit piece created the illusion that this guy back in 2008, his name is... Let me see. Bernie Moreno, all right? That's, you know, almost 20 years ago, Bernie Moreno was apparently on some site looking for dudes. Well, the story was bogus, total garbage, and this is the background. Before we show you what happened, the same Trump bounce this gentleman, candidate Moreno, got. People are done. Associated Press admits it has no geolocation data to back up its Bernie Moreno smear. As a former journalist, this makes me so angry to blatantly lie because you are so committed to screwing somebody over so that your chosen candidate can win. It's so gross. This is election interference. A spokeswoman for the Associated Press admitted to Breitbart News that the organization does not, despite previously reporting in two different pieces that it did, have any, quote, geolocation data to back up its smear piece about Ohio Senate candidate Bernie Moreno. Lauren Easton, who's the director of communications for the AP, told Breitbart News that while the organization stands by the story and its reporter Brian Slidisco, it does not have the geolocation data as the two articles it previously published originally claimed. Now, how can you stand by an article that you know is garbage? This is the necessary exposure of the media. As disgusting, despicable, and disappointing as it is, you've got to know this. You've got to see this. This bombshell admission by a major news organization comes after the Newswire service reported Thursday night in two different pieces that an email address for Moreno, who is the candidate that former President Donald Trump is backing for the U.S. Senate in Ohio in today's primary election, had been used to create an account on Adult Friend Finder back in 2008. The AP admitted in both of its stories that it did not know if Moreno himself created the account, but the organization cast heavy doubt on Team Moreno's response, which included providing statements from a man who had interned for Moreno at the time, who admitted to making the account as a prank, and from another executive at one of Moreno's companies confirming that the then intern had access to Moreno's email account, and his duties included regularly checking it. Don't let the facts get in the way of your fiction, which is something that's fictitious, of course, that's used primarily to smear one person to benefit another, Sherrod Brown, or whomever the other presumptive candidate of suck is, that they want to win this Republican primary. So you've got that on the sidebars, right? That's a back burner percolating right now. But this is the part that I find very intriguing, because this Moreno guy... You know, might have been a little tenuous before the AP stepped in some poo pie. But now he's taking a nice lead. Poll. Bernie Moreno takes commanding lead in Ohio on the eve of primary election after Trump rally. Now, one could say that Donald Trump coming out and being able to say to the faithful, the flock who've gathered in Dayton, wherever they were, hey, this is my dude. I believe in him. I think you should, too. I think you can trust him. If you trust me, you can trust him. Is that big? Yes, it's big. But exposing the media and their obvious attempt to smear this guy... He's who they're afraid of. And so the inverse reaction comes back to us and we say, then he must be the guy we need to fight for and we need to elect. And that is exactly what is going on. Trump-backed businessman Bernie Moreno is taking a 9-point lead. A 9-point lead over his nearest opponent for Republicans' Republican U.S. Senate nomination on the eve of that primary. This is according to a new Emerson College poll. Now, this poll finds Moreno leading the pack with 38% support, marking a monumental 15-point surge compared to an earlier Emerson College Nexstar media poll published last Wednesday. 15 points in 6 days? That is the head of Democrats everywhere exploding. This is the guy that we use as one of our opens. When are y'all gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. The harder you go after people, the more desperate cards you play. The more you dig into the Don Lemming playbook of feelings. And everything is racist or white supremacist based. The more you turn off common sense people who just want to pay their bills. Who just want to get the government out of their pocketbook. Who just want to scrape together enough dough to take the kids on a vacation and who've scrapped Disney off the list because Disney sucks. It's not complicated. 15 points. That's nuts. So the guy who's next to him, Matt Dolan, that's the preferred choice that the Uniparty wants. Nobody wants Matt Dolan. Nobody wanted John McCain. Nobody wanted Mitt Romney and all the empathetic, oh, John McCain, he was a POW. He was a lousy legislator. He was a terrible candidate. He did not espouse the values that we have on the right. They are not exclusionary. They are not out of date. They are time-tested and honored. Meritocracy. When Emerson pressed undecided voters on which way they lean, they majority-wise went for the guy that the establishment wants, this Dolan fellow. However, when you put it all together, Moreno is in the lead. Now, the question is going to be in Ohio, do you trust your elections? Are there enough people grassroots, ground level, keeping an eye on everything that is going on? Because we trust nobody anymore. And I think that is the lesson here. One, I think the left is learning. The harder they try, the more they fail. The more desperate they sound, the more obvious it is to the rest of us. And we've become far more resoundingly resolute in what we believe. I'm not going to sway for you. We will make some accommodations, i.e. in the abortion category. I think we have some wiggle room to negotiate things that ought to be discussed, that are reasonable, that make sense. But if you have to stoop to lying, to fabricating a story that you know is bunk, then you're just as culpable as the people who pushed a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic and a rushed vaccine that wasn't a vaccine. It was far worse. These are the people desperate for you to believe them. These are the people who believe they've earned your vote. And if you don't give it to them, they will stop at nothing in order to secure it at the 11th hour. That is what we are up against. So the AP, yep, we lied. The woman in charge of it says, yeah, we know we lied, but we still like our reporter and we still stand behind our work. If the Associated Press isn't dead to you forever, isn't dead to you like CNN, isn't dead to you like MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all of them, right? Then you get what you get. Wake up. Wake up. When we come back, let's talk about this. Have you guys seen the CNN hit piece on Aaron Rodgers? Because it fits in this umbrella of what the left does when somebody presents a threat to the narrative that censorship can't stop. next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So my friend Dan O'Donnell, who is a radio talk show host in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, WISN 1100 AM, if I'm not mistaken. He's a regular panelist on my Newsmax show on the weekend called Common Sense. He's great. He also writes for The Federalist. And he wrote this article that I think is a beautiful bow to tie around our conversation today about the left, the right, censorship, free speech, all of it. And this is the headline of it. CNN's Aaron Rodgers hit piece proves corporate media works for Democrats. As though you needed this, this is beautiful. On the very same day that high-ranking Democrats expressed their fears about Aaron Rodgers, specifically about him being picked by RFK Jr. as his vice presidential running mate, CNN ignores every fundamental standard of journalistic ethics to slam him. Here's your story. Rarely is the collusion between the mainstream press and the Democratic Party as apparent as it was last Thursday when CNN Jake Tapper launched an all-out assault on, of all people, Aaron Rodgers. Within a day of the New York Jets quarterback emerging as a leading choice to run with independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tapper claimed Rodgers shared Sandy Hook conspiracy theories with CNN reporter Pamela Brown at a party following the 2013 Kentucky Derby. Quote, hearing that Brown was a journalist with CNN, Rodgers immediately began attacking the news media for covering up important stories. Tapper's CNN.com story alleged. Rodgers brought up the tragic killing of 20 children and 6 adults by a gunman at Sandy Hook Elementary School, claiming it was actually a government inside job and that the media was intentionally ignoring it. That is a big claim by Jake Tapper on CNN. Brown did not record the alleged conversation, took no notes, and apparently told nobody about it for nearly 11 years. But then all of a sudden Thursday, the day after Kennedy first floated the possibility of adding Rodgers to his ticket, she was finally ready to report on their conversation? Really? CNN's apparent lack of any editorial standards in publishing such an unprovable story notwithstanding, the timing of it was notable, especially after TMZ.com reported just a few hours after Tapper first broke the story that the Democratic National Committee was so scared of Rodgers' potential to swing votes from Biden and toward Kennedy that it was actively digging up dirt on the quarterback. CNN's lack of editorial standards, is that like the AP? Huh. Bing, 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 bing. Quote, DNC members acknowledge third-party candidates can easily play spoiler in a close election. So all the more reason to face Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and possibly Rodgers head on, TMZ reported Thursday afternoon. Moving forward, we're told Democrats will be looking through old Rodgers interviews and dredging up the skeletons in the quarterback's locker. Essentially, they're welcoming Aaron Rodgers to a whole new kind of gridiron, one where Rodgers isn't likely to get an unnecessary roughness call in his favor. Dirty. What a coincidence. On the very same day that high-ranking Democrats express their fears about Aaron Rodgers, CNN ignores every fundamental standard of journalistic ethics to slam him. It's almost as if Tapper and the reporter Brown were following orders that had gone out from the DNC that very day and were not acting as journalists, but opposition researchers instead. It would make sense that Rodgers would wind up in their crosshairs as he would provide enough celebrity cachet and, frankly, enough weirdness to keep Kennedy's campaign in the headlines straight through to Election Day. He wouldn't even need to take time away from football to campaign. Every locker room interview, every post-game press conference, every Pat McAfee appearance would give him ample opportunity to tout his running mate. Moreover, Rodgers played nearly all his NFL career for the Green Bay Packers, who are less a football team than a religion in the critical swing state of Wisconsin. To be sure, he has alienated plenty of fans with the increasingly self-absorbed strangeness, Dan O'Donnell writes, that contributed to the team's decision to move on from him last year, but he still has a sizable share of supporters. Could just enough of them be persuaded to vote for a Kennedy-Rogers ticket instead of a Biden-Harris one? To deliver Wisconsin to former President Trump, perhaps, especially since a third-party candidate almost certainly delivered the state to Trump in 2016. Now, Dan goes into historically Green Party issues. Jill Stein moving the pendulum for Trump over Clinton in 2016, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to read this to you because it smacks of all of the things that you and I have talked about today. The greatest umbrella is notwithstanding, of course, censorship. Who gets to decide what is allowed and what isn't allowed? Who gets to be the arbiter of that magic wand? That is a scary predicament. That is a conundrum, and that is something that we have to pay close attention to. As the Supreme Court and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's out there, is considering this. But perhaps even more dangerously is the overt manipulation of big tech and media to benefit the left. Google, 41 times, interfering in elections over 16 years. And then, of course, this story, CNN, AP, picking up balls that it knows are dirty and running with them anyway. Rolling the dice that the apology and the yeah, but correction that'll appear on the back of the F section of the newspaper is a price they're willing to pay for the effect of smearing someone. But it's not working. It's not working in Ohio. Just watch Bernie Moreno. And it's not working across the United States. Just watch Donald Trump. So the decision is clear. Which side represents your values? Which side makes the most sense to you? And when you say the Republican Party, conservatives, then you must say, now how can I get involved? I'm Wendy Bell, delighted to be with you. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Peace.